This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Walking on a dream.
Nation, welcome to a new episode of the Brad and Chad Show. This is Brad. It's great to be back at the PTBN studios tonight. Studio A, in fact. You know, just looking around, we have big posters of Steve Corino, El Gigante. I think that's Ludwig Borga. It's a great place. The seat is comfortable. I'm happy to be here. We got a great crew tonight too. I mean, we're pulling out all the stops, overtime and everything. We got my producer Dan McGinn on the line. Dan working the levels and keeping track of what we're going to be talking about tonight. As always, I am not here with my normal co-host Chad Campbell. Chad, with affectionately known as the 2.5 Star Lord, is tied up with family obligations. You know, you can only do so many podcasts with Parv over a couple month period when dealing with the newborn at home. So sadly, Chad will not be here. And unlike the SummerSlam show we had where he just took a picture of his running list and the idiots list, referring to Steve Willey, Justin Rosero, and myself, I do have some information from Chad. And I'll be sprinkling it in tonight. So there will be some the spirit of Chad will be here. So he will be missed. Who will not be missed, the first gentleman on the line with me tonight. He has been a part of every Brad and Chad show. He has either recorded, participated in, or slept through each and every episode. Mr. Justin Rosero. Justin, how are you?
Can it just be the Brad and Justin show at this point? I mean, Chad's been like in less than half of them.
Secretly, that's really what it is.
And you couldn't find really Duncan to just do it for us? Do the Chad for us, just have him fill in? I mean, it's pretty much like Chad is like our masked luchador of PTBN, where we can just throw anyone under the hood and it's just Chad for the night.
You know, I like the mask gimmick. We start running something in there and we can, I mean, let's be honest, during the PTB Halloween show, there were times where we really didn't know. You know, first we thought he was playing a baby, a crying baby. That really was a crying baby. And there were times we could not tell the difference between them. So, but yes, secretly, this is really just a vehicle for Justin Rosero to show off, and I'm just here to help facilitate that.
True. Hey, I got to ask you a question, because you said that there's a lot of posters hanging in the room there.
Yes.
Is there one of the Quebecers, or is that the Rougeau brothers?
You could call them the Rougeau brothers.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Glad I got that one out of the way earlier.
There you go. We're done with that one. I'll
talk about that one later. I thought you were going with a pee popping thing, and I was on the defense. Since,
oh, okay.
Again,
no,
my normal co-host Chad had to come as me as Halloween, like that was some, you know, great costume or whatever. But not to be outdone and talking about it being a vehicle for a great performance, our other guest tonight, I'm really happy to have him here. I have once called him the Ed McMahon of the Brad and Chad show, and that he can sit in whenever, although we have actually never been on the same Brad and Chad show together. He you can hear him on Place to Be Nation's main event. Occasionally, he does some dabbling in comic books and whatnot and with Marvel. And he's Mr. Ben Morris, my good friend. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing great, Brad. You know, it's always nice to make my way back to the Brad and Chad show. It's really the Brock Lesnar of the Place to Be Nation Network. Doesn't show up very often, but, you know, always delivers. And pretty sure Chad has diverticulitis of the soul.
Very good. I like that.
And that's the first of many jokes that Justin will not be laughing at tonight.
I snickered.
Was that you?
That was a snicker.
I just assumed it was Brad.
No, I took care of you. No, if it was Brad, it would have been like a
poof. That's right.
I am super excited for this. I very attentively listened to the WrestleMania and SummerSlam list shows, and I wasn't sure if we were going to do a Survivor Series one, so I actually prompted this one in the Facebook chat. I said, are you guys going to do it? Because I want to be a part of it. I love listening to these, and I'm excited to do this, even though I don't think we've talked about the subject matter of the show yet. So
no, but
I already fucked it up.
Dan wanted to do it. Dan, well, it'll be in the write-up, Ben, so I think everyone will know. But Dan, I think Dan wanted to do like a No Mercy one, and that's why you just kind of threw him a bone to hang out with us Saturday night. Brad, is that true?
Well, I thought it was, you know, currently the Steve Corino show is on a little bit of a hiatus. There's some rebranding going on, and we want Dan to, you know, it's it's not a Kevin Kelly week. So Dan had the week off from podcasting, and so you know we could
know what
leverage
to do with
him and bring him into the big time, the big kids show. So, but we are glad that Dan's with us. Ben, Justin, I'm glad you're with you too. And as Ben alluded to, we'd like on the Brad and Chad show a little Listomania of sorts in the PTB fashion. And tonight we are going to be ranking every Survivor Series show, 27 through number one. That's right, 27 shows that we are going to rank. So we're going to jump right into it. As Ben mentioned, we've done this for WrestleMania. That was Chad, Justin, and myself. And then we did an impromptu show with our good friend Steve Willey for SummerSlam. You can certainly check those out at placetobenation.com. And of course, by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed. Normally, Steve Carino would tell Dan where he could find this show, but I'm going to say, you know, you could find those there. And I want to thank all the listeners in advance for listening to this, and also for, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there, and we have a huge variety of shows, and they all do very, very well, and we're all really grateful for your loyalty. So, with that said, let's jump into it, boys. 27-1. As we've done in the past, we kind of jump these into tiers. We're going to start at the very bottom. Ben, I'm going to start with you. What are you looking at here as your bottom two or three? And we'll kind of sort things out and go around the horn.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, the three of us have been kind of pregaming for this for a couple of days now. And Survivor Series is interesting. It's very good. That's the word I'll keep coming back to, is interesting, because with SummerSlam, with WrestleMania, you immediately, you know, there's your stacked cards, there's kind of your bad cards. But going back over these Survivor Series, it's tough. I think it's a lot tougher. The worst one is probably a lot closer to the best one than it was for SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
Easy.
I think there's really good Survivor Series, but it's almost like there are not a lot of slam dunk shows and there's not a lot of terrible shows, just by the nature of the gimmick and just where it falls. And also one of the things that I kept coming back to, and I don't know if you had the same things, guys, but it's almost like there's WrestleMania and SummerSlam, you'll look for like the really good matches. For Survivor Series, a really lot of like historically significant moments made a difference for me. Like, it wasn't so much a match, it's like, oh, this happened here, this was an important face turn, or this was an important moment in the history. So like, even, you know, when I start getting towards my top ones, it's very divided. But trying to figure out where to start, there were definitely some shows. There's a lot of shows in the middle that are, you know, just not memorable. I think we'll get to those. But as far as my bottom, there was three that I had way, way further down. Two that I think I'll get pretty easy agreements with, and one that may be a little more of a discussion. I'll start with the two easy ones. And this is ironic, because given the era it was in and where the product was, but I thought, remember watching these live, 1999 and 2000 probably bottom out my list. Just in the middle of the Attitude Era, there are really good, hot characters going on. But you look at the cards for those shows and really nothing going on. We can break them down individually. But those two would be the ones that I really drag down to the bottom.
Those two are in my bottom four. So we're on the same wavelength there. Before I talk about my other two, I'll kind of stump for some other crappy shows. Justin, what do you feel about those two, and where are you looking at for the bottom?
Yeah, I agree. 99. It's weird because it was that hot period, but again, the fall kind of cooled off in 99 before they picked back up in 2000. But outside of the memorable moment with Big Show winning the title, really nothing else on that show. It's only known for Austin getting run down.
And Austin being out of that show, I think, kills it too.
Yeah,
because that was a show they really, you know, they got screwed in the middle of.
And it was such a big build to those three big stars in that match. I think it kind of gets overlooked at the time, like how big that would have been with those three guys in the ring.
Yep, would have been a totally different card.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And
I remember after the end of No Mercy, when The Rock came out, I was like, oh my God, these three guys are going to wrestle next month. It's going to be amazing. So I remember watching it back then too.
Yep, and it was not good. And I agree on 2000 as well. I especially the end is such a blah with the card dropping. And I like Rock Rikishi on that show, though. So to me, that's the best match of those two shows, I would think.
Sure,
I would agree.
I would argue that 2000 probably has a few of the better matches, you know, when you compare them. Although I don't know what else. I guess the Radicals match. I'm looking at the card now. Actually, there's not too much else. Kurt Angle, Undertaker is pretty stinky.
Radicals match isn't terrible, and also there's the decent Edge and Christian,
right,
Dudley's Hardy's one. But again, nothing. nothing stand out.
Yeah, so let me, I'm with those. And I'm going to throw 04, Brad, as one of my other ones in there.
As 04, okay. All right.
And 13. Those are my
yes. Ones. And so I'm going to stump for 13. And also, so one of the things we talk about, too, sometimes, some you know, we talked about with SummerSlam, too, sometimes there can be a really great match that can carry a show further than you would normally think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at shows like 2013 and 2010 that have arguably, we thought you think the 99 main event is bad. Those two shows have, I would say, without a doubt, the worst two main events in Survivor Series history. You know, in 2010, you have a terrible Orton Barrett match with a that's built around John Cena. So, I mean, the build was okay. The match is horrible. And in 2013, you have, you know, the Boston crowd shitting all over the Big Show and Randy Orton in a main event in 2013. So Two really bad main events that really bring those cards down. So those are my bottom four, 13, 10, 99, and 2000.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, 10 had some, and I'm going to give some credit here quickly to our buddy Stephen Ferrari, a fan of the site, helped me out with some of these more recent cards because he was watching them. And as he knows and as I remember, there's some decent matches on 10. But yeah, the main event was just a mess with Cena as the ref. And I mean, you know, he gets fired, right? He gets fired. He's freed from Nexus and fired or whatever the hell it is. Yeah. And then he showed up the next week. I mean, the whole thing was rendered completely useless. I mean, there's some like hidden gems in there, not gem wise, but like hidden nuggets. Like Caval was on that pay-per-view.
Yeah. I was going to say that was Caval's one and done. Yeah.
You know,
actually
lost
the best, I think the best match on that show was Morrison and Sheamus. They had a really underrated feud that fall.
They had that and also Daniel Bryan gave Ted DiBiase his best match ever in the opener. So,
but also in 10, like let's not give all of the reverse credit to Orton Barrett because Kane and Edge had a terrible match that night.
Oh yeah, like a double pin, and that they went for to keep the title. Yeah, that was during, really
Kane's,
bad.
Kane's world title reign in 2010 was just horrific. So I'm right there with you on 10. The only thing I'll say for 13. Not a good show and a really, really bad main event. The only standouts there I'll say were that you had kind of Roman Reigns' first chance to break out with that Shield Survivor Series elimination match. He had some really good performers in there with Cody and Goldust, with the Usos. And you also had Punk and Bryan as a tag team against
cool,
the Wyatts. I wouldn't put it in my, you know, anywhere in the top. Also, according to Wikipedia, there was a dark match where Kevin Steen defeated Prince Devitt and Kenta. So let's not discount that. I guess this is just added to Wikipedia, but it's a pre-show match, and it was 8:35.
Okay.
Talk about hidden gems. I had 13 and 10 not far down. As far as 2004, which Justin mentioned, I would put that pretty low. That was a pretty forgettable show. I remember watching that. I remember the main event with Triple H's team against Orton's team was pretty heatless. That whole fall was kind of heatless after.
Well, I kind of disagree though, because I feel like the build going in was pretty interesting. I remember being really interested in it because it was something different for once. That Bischoff, they were getting rid of the GM, and one of the teams was going to control Raw for a month. Right, so that actually had some interest. And that would lead to what I thought was a pretty good end of the year into a good beginning of 2005 with the double pin with Benoit and was it Benoit Jericho that both pinned Triple H?
It was Benoit and Jericho.
No, Benoit Edge.
Yeah, right. And then they had the chamber.
Yeah, I guess the problem for me, I think you're right. I think they were just about to pick things up. But for me, Survivor Series 2004 was when they were still kind of recovering from the Orton face turn that didn't go anywhere. They hadn't quite... They were still trying to make him kind of the linchpin of like, this guy's going to be the baby face of the company.
Right. Yeah.
And then over on SmackDown, it was just when JBL's title reign was starting to kind of get a little stale. Because I liked him as champion at first. Unlike a lot of people, I was like...
Yeah, I'm the opposite of it. I thought he picked up steam right around here. And I thought he finally got really good. Not that he wasn't good early on, but I thought he really started to like hone the character and take control of the title in the show. I thought it was like right around here after the Taker feud, here and then the Armageddon match where he outlasts the three main contenders, and then the stuff to me like his peak was the Tokyo show when he was Gatranked and he was
that
drunk.
That was tremendous.
Yeah, that, like, to me, that was, that's what I think of. And he had the cabinet really working. So
yeah. I think all the things you're saying to me, like end of 04, no, end right. of end of 04, beginning of 05 is when it started picking up. I think Survivor Series 04 just has the bad fortune of being literally like weeks before it started to get good again.
Yep.
That's kind of what I think. That's why.
And also the title wasn't on the line. You know, Orton's or Triple H, you know, is the champion, of course, takes the pin to kind of further the Orton thing.
So
and,
let me ask you this, Brad, though.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get a lot of shows like that. So I think it's a good talking point, right?
Sure.
Survivor Series is probably one of the only shows on the calendar known for maybe not always having a title match. And, you know, in your eyes, does that severely hurt a lot of these shows? Because there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there are. Well, in this case, there are two belts. But it didn't in this case because of the main event being a Survivor Series style match. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. And that's what we're leaning for in 2014 as well. So I didn't hurt it on. I have 04 kind of in the lower level, but it's a little bit nostalgic for me because that's like the first show I watched like when I came back from a very, very long hiatus. So I like desperately wanted it to be good.
Now listen, Brad, we're going to be dealing with legitimate nostalgia later.
I know.
But 2004 nostalgia, we got to kick that in the teeth right now.
I will say, and that nostalgia got all of it outside of my top four, but I would certainly bottom four. But, you know, I would certainly would not argue against it being you know, right there in that group. So let's try to hash it out here. So we got, well, let me ask around. Is there anybody else, any other shows in the bottom four you want to nominate? Ben, what were your other ones?
Yeah, there's two more I want to throw in there because at that point that we'll have mentioned all kind of my bottom ones. And that's, first of all, 2012, mm-hmm. which I think is in the same general boat as like the 13 and 10s and just has no memorable matches. You got a triple threat with Punk, Cena, and Ryback on top. Shield debuted, so that's something. But then, look past that, there was really nothing going on this show. Right. You had like a Brodus Clay-led team against a Tensai-led team. This is also when I remember where it was supposed to be Team Foley against Team Punk.
Yeah.
And then they reshuffled it and ended up being Team Ziggler, and you had it was all centered around the Miz babyface turn. Just a lot of stuff here.
That was kind of big for Ziggler, though, because he was a survivor there, pinned Orton.
Huge for Ziggler.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ben. And even the main event, the Cena Punk Ryback triple threat, was kind of weird, because that was when Ryback every month seemed like he should win, and he kept not winning,
and then lost.
Kind of killed him off. But, I mean, the only thing there, like you said, is probably the Shield debut, which was, obviously a huge deal for the future of the company. So, it's curious because you mentioned, and here's another good talking point, right? So we said how SummerSlam and WrestleMania, what could carry shows was that one match.
Yep.
Well, Survivor Series, Ben, like I thought you were very accurate on it. You said it's more moments.
It's the moment. That's what elevates 12 maybe above some of the other ones.
Right. So that's my question. Are we going to look at moments like we do matches for Mania and SummerSlam where that alone, the Shield debuting alone, can pick up a crappy card? Say like, you know, Austin and Hart did WrestleMania 13.
Right.
Can the Shield debut carry an otherwise subpar show? Because Survivor Series isn't always about work rate.
Right. I don't think, and I think there's going to be a lot of other cases where we find that it does. I don't, looking at here, 12, I don't think the Shield is enough to compensate for a forgettable card. And that might also just be because the Shield, as great as they are, is only a couple years old. So it doesn't have as much impact as some of the other debuts we'll talk about. But, you know, it's a talking point.
I'll throw in real quick with 12 is that the Sheamus Big Show feud was actually very good.
That was good.
Matches were very good. So I have that one a little bit higher up than I have it higher than 13 and 10 as you know, more recent shows go.
All right. I want to throw one more in there, and I think we start building our bottom tier after this. And this is the one I was alluding to at the beginning. I think may cause some waves or may not. And that's going outside of the era we've been talking about. I actually think 1994 is a particularly weak show. Mm. And I think a lot of this leans on how you feel about the Bret Hart-Bob Backlund match, because there's some people who see it as like a grand storytelling thing. Other people see it as, you know, Bret Hart just lying there in the crossface for about 12 minutes while his parents are at ringside. But also on that card, you had the midget match. You had a lot of very not so great Survivor Series matches, and then the Undertaker Yokozuna casket match with Chuck Norris, which I thought wasn't great. So of the early Survivor Series, I think that's in the discussion. I actually had that down way low, but behind some of these more recent ones we were talking about.
Yeah, 94 is an interesting one because I have like the nostalgia era Survivor Series, which is to me from pretty much 87 through like 95. Mm. And 94 pretty much ranks at the bottom for me of those. And I love, trust me, I love the memory of 94. I think I mentioned this before. That was always right over my birthday. So a lot of times we'd have like a birthday party the night before Thanksgiving. My friends would stay over at or like that was one of the ones in that stretch. And I was really, really hyped for it. I like Brett Backlund a decent amount. I like that Superstars match better. You can go read about that, PlayStation.com.
It's a good match.
But the Survivor Series one is good. I like the opener just because of the guys in the match. Like, I think that Shawn Michaels team is one of the best Survivor Series teams ever put together.
Agreed.
The midget match is brutal. Yeah. Just really, really bad. The other match seems like it should be good, the Luger match, but it just isn't. And I'm going to blame the stank of the corporation, like mm-hmm. the corporation on that. They just cannot get over it no matter what the situation is. And the main event's awful. So I'm with Ben there. I would probably put that in the bottom five as much as it guts me to do so.
Okay. All right.
Hard choices, so, guys. That's what we're here to do.
Hard choices. So we have what constitutes a bottom six right now.
Yeah.
With 13, 10, 99, 2000. 04 and 94. Unless we want to throw 12, and I'm going to say 12 is maybe a touch better than 94, or they're very close. But so let's talk at the bottom here. Yeah. I'm comfortable with anything from that 13, 10, 99, 2000 being the worst. I think we all have 99 pretty low. Does that sound like a consensus?
I feel like it is, yeah. I don't think we found bright spots on each of those other ones and little places to defend. I don't think we found anything to defend about 99. We talked more about how it didn't live up because it didn't have the main event. And I just remember there were so many things about that show that frustrated me from Jericho getting jobbed out to China to that Big Show handicap match, which is just weird. And there was nothing I liked about 99.
The only positive you can say, and the only positive you can say is Angle debuts.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, even that's unspectacular. It's probably one of his worst matches in the company against Sean Stasiak.
Well, it was almost like proto-Angle because he wasn't really Angle yet. He was. Right. It was like, you were like, oh, this guy could be good, but he wasn't quite there yet. So
yeah, not until early 2000. I agree. I mean, it's crazy to think a show in that stretch is the worst Survivor Series ever when you consider some of the cards that we're talking about. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. There's nothing redeemable. Even X-Pac Kane, which had pretty good matches otherwise, only goes 4 minutes here. Yeah, you get the too cool hardcore Holly. I mean, that match is probably the match of the night, not by much. And then you get that really weird one with Val, Mark Henry, Gangrel, and Blackman against Bulldog and the Posse, and
just
not a good show overall. So I'm with you guys. I say this.
Okay. All right, so 99 at the bottom. Next up, how are you guys feeling here? Do we stick in the Attitude Era with 2000? Or shows like 2010, 2013 gonna kind of take that next spot?
I'm still looking at 2012. Like, someone's got to say, I get we have the Shield debut.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only redeeming point there.
Well, let's compare 12. See, I think 94 and 13 are maybe slightly above. So let's look at 12 and 2000. I think
I need a side by side here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think those are the two we gotta compare.
So 2000, what elevates 2000 above 12? Look at this card here.
I would say Rock Rikishi.
Right. So that has the best match of the two shows, I would say.
Would
we say Rock Rikishi is better than anything on 12?
I don't know. How good? I don't remember that main event. Was it in again?
I mean, it was a pretty... It's Cena Punk, so it was... you're right. There's definitely something there. Ryback was still a little raw, but he had energy.
I mean, and from a visual standpoint, I mean, they made Ryback out to be a beast. I mean, this is a guy that literally shell shocks John Cena, and Punk covers him like 20 seconds later for the win. It's put him over pretty strong.
So if we say the two matches are neck and neck,
right?
Rock Rikishi against the main event. There's nothing really else on that 12 undercard, but on the 2000 undercard, you do have the Radicals match, which I remember being kind of fun just because they beat the shit out of DX, which is kind of fun just watching them kind of like annihilate them. Not much else. And then again, I stand by the Dudley's Hardys against Edge, Christian, Reggie Spencer being not so bad.
And I mean, Taker Angle is better than Fully Loaded.
Right.
And it also had the memorable Eric Angle.
right?
Yeah.
Thing with
brother
the,
switch,
oh, yeah.
the brother swap. And I mean, the main event was an okay brawl until the
sure.
kerfluffle end. So, I mean, part of me like can't fathom putting 99 and 2000 as the two worst entries in this thing. And I know that's a stupid flawed logic, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, can we really do that, you know, to these two shows and that era?
I think 2000 is not a great show, but I think it's above at least 12.
Well, you know what other factor we should think about?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the commentary.
Mm.
So we're looking at JR and King against this disastrous, you know, pile of shit that was 2012,
right.
which who I don't know who was in that one. Was it?
But remember, you're also talking about 2000 Lawler, who was getting to the point where you really wanted him to go away, which he did.
Yeah,
a few months
true,
later.
True. But I still think I take that over
for sure.
I'm trying to see who actually did this one. Was it
12?
Was it? Oh, right. It was Cole King and JBL already. Oh,
yeah,
JBL's
yeah.
been back that long.
I know, right? Yeah. I was just thinking that. I was like, there's no way it was, but yeah.
Jeez. Jesus.
All right, I'm gonna just say 12.
Yeah.
For the second.
All right, we're gonna go 12 next.
Yeah, I don't think we can put that much value on the Shield debut.
No, I mean,
because that's really the only thing holding that show together.
And you guys sure you don't want to put Survivor Series 2010 down there below 12?
I'm gonna say the undercard of 10 saves it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like we said, Morrison and Sheamus.
Yep.
You get the Cavallo match. You get DiBiase, Bryan, and then
those are good. And I think, as Ben pointed out before, you have two stinker headliners with Kane Edge and Orton Barrett to
right.
kind of headline that show.
See, I'm thinking maybe 2000 even above this.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. I wouldn't disagree with that. I really think 10 needs to be, I mean, the undercard is good, but you're talking two main matches on that show that are dreadful.
All right, so what about 10 held up against 12?
I'm thinking 12 is better.
Really?
Yeah, I think 12 is better than 10.
What from 12 are we saying is good besides the debut?
Sheamus, Big Show.
All right.
And main event star power, and
right.
I think that.
And the Dolph, making Dolph that moment there.
That's true. 10 and 12 are pretty neck and neck for me, so if you guys want to put 12 above 10, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Those were really bad title matches. So if we go 99, 10, 12, 2000, that makes a lot of sense to me as a bottom four.
Yep. And so then let me ask you guys as we build to that then, is does 2013 enter the equation where that would be better than 2000? Based on those two big matches, you know, like you talked about, the traditional Survivor Series match with the Shield, which is very good, and then also the tag team match with Punk and Bryan as crowd favorites versus, again, a really, really bad main event.
God, when you read it back like that, Chad, Jesus, everyone sounds like Chad now. It's just like, it's like watching Bean John Malkovich.
No, if that was Chad, these all would be tied for 27th.
Yeah, exactly. And the All Japan Survivor Series would be number one. 2000 is like becoming a better and better card to me by the second. I'll have to go back and rewatch it to appreciate this gem that I apparently have neglected. But
right.
Yeah, I think I'd kick 2013 below 2000 as well.
Okay.
Just climbing the charts.
It is.
All right, so where are we at then? We got 99. I just want to make sure. Okay, so 99, 10, 12, 13. That's what we're looking at. Okay.
And then so as 2000 is still safe, we should re-talk about 2004
and
also 1994. Now, I will say, as we start to look at those, my partner's list did have 1999 last, and then 2010, and 2000 after that, and 2013 and 2004 after that. So he is in spirit with us so far.
Except he apparently loves 2012.
You know, honestly, he had it about where I did, which is around like 21.
I need to look at the card
so
of 2012
close.
And figure out what about it Chad Campbell loved. This is now my fascination.
The I don't know. As much as 2004 kind of stinks, I think it's better than 2000. I think the stakes in the main event. The main event was very good. I mean, it was 25 minutes, and it was good.
Yep. That was a good match. I remember that match made me care a lot about Maven. I'll say that.
That was the one time they used him well.
Yep.
Was during that stretch. And the Eddie match was fun, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, because that was Cena right after his face turn.
Right. He joins that, and then with Carlito had just debuted, and Eddie, Cena, and Big Show are the survivors. So it's like a real kind of crowning for Cena. And no, he had been face for a while, Ben. That was the year before you're thinking of, 03.
Oh, yeah. When he that's right. This is when he had just come back from injury.
He's stabbing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but it was still like a crowning moment for Eddie to kind of bring him up, and Eddie and Show had been tortured by Team Angle throughout the fall.
All right. So I'm fine with saying 04 is better than 2000.
Okay.
I think they're close, and I think 94 is better than both of those.
I would agree with that. So let's put in 2000 then as the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will do, what do you guys think with 04 versus 94?
Yeah, that's a question now, because now that you've opened my eyes to 2004. really, 2004 is just the two good Survivor matches, though. And if you like the JBL title reign, it's okay. Like, not much going on with this Cruiserweight match. Undertaker Heidenreich is terrible. Trish Lita went for a minute 24.
Shelton Christian, solid.
It's solid. It's not going to put it over the top, though.
I think Brett Backlund is better than anything on here, personally.
It's not so much about is Brett Backlund better. It is, and I'm not even joking here, how much does that midget match bring it down?
No, true.
And the main event. Not great either.
Brad, we had an interesting discussion during our quick break there about Brett and Backlund.
Yeah.
Curious your thoughts. It's one of those matches where even if you don't like it, you kind of respect it, almost like the Iron Man at 12. Like, you get that it's good, even though you may not be a fan of it.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. And I watched it last year, again, that kind of middle tier group in the mid 90s. And, you know, he is in that hold for a good 7 minutes, 8 minutes, legit. And there are some, you know, it reads better on paper than if you rewatch it, because that is pretty...
It's long. It was like 40 minutes, right?
It's I think the match is like 34 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. When you factor in the whole package, I guess it's about 40.
Yeah, the whole package before and after.
35-11 is the bell to bell.
35-11.
Here's what I'm coming down to when it's 04 against 94, is, to me, no hugely historical moments for either. Maybe Backlund winning the title.
Yeah, I think Backlund winning.
Yeah, I think Backlund winning.
And so Diesel turning heel. I mean, Diesel turning face, I think, is pretty big, too.
So, yeah, I say 94 over 04.
I'm on board with that.
Plus, go ahead, Brad, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'll say one other little historical moment in 94, the only time Vince and Gorilla commentate together.
There you go.
Okay. So, pencil those in, and let me ask you guys one thing, and I will take what you say here. Is there any universe where 91 fits in around these shows where it's behind 94 and 2004?
No, I think it's
just because of
borderline,
the
but I don't think it's worse. Yeah,
Taker win, and also that the opening Survivor Series match.
The opener's really
bring
good.
Bring it way up, and the Rockers heading towards the breakup. Now I don't even have 91 in the discussion for a good while.
Plus, you get the running thread of the Savage stuff.
Yep.
94 too. The reason I put it a little ahead of 04 is the. I'm a sucker for the themes, and I like how they do the whole Southwest theme throughout that episode, throughout that show. They have all the cowboy hats and the cowboy stuff on, and it's very they really San Antonio it up, which I like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the ones we got so far are pretty solid.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to recap for our listeners out there that are frantically trying to write this down and keep up with it as much as Dan is. So we have 1999, 2010, 2012, 2013, 2000. 2004, 1994. So that brings us to our next tier. We've got seven in the can here. So, Justin, let me start with you next on your list. What do you have that's kind of floating around this next group?
I'm going to say 88. I think next to 94, that's the weakest of kind of the nostalgia era. I like the other ones around it, and I know there's a couple, Ben, we're going to probably debate heavily soon. I would say I like 03. Yeah, I don't know, 88. I think 91, Brad. I think you're onto something with that. I got to look at 08 again, actually.
I was going to throw 08 out as my next one from
08 was my next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we look at 08 possibly here. We'll pull up that card.
Yeah.
Obviously, the headliner is, you know, Cena's return from injury, Jericho's big heel run, and they do
it's
the
a running
title
theme
change.
Here. Cena's return from injury.
right. And I was at 08. I was in the very last row of the Boston Garden, like opposite the entrance. So, I mean, legit, you know, the long way up top. And I don't even remember much about being there. I mean, that was just one that was just kind of like, all right, it just kind of came and went.
Yeah.
I mean, Edge, that was Edge's like surprise return, right?
One, yeah.
So that was good. Cena Jericho was disappointing to me because Jericho was on fire with that title reign. He had the back and forth with Batista, and you really thought maybe they'd give it to him. And just having Cena win kind of anticlimactic. It almost felt like the Rock match of 29, where it's just like you kind of hope for something different, and nope, Cena just wins it and takes the title. I'm fine putting 08 here. I mean, just the fact, and I got a pretty steel trap memory, and if I was at a show and barely remember anything about it, I would say it's a sign to me that I shouldn't have it very high on any kind of list.
Yeah, not much to add. I think 08's definitely the next one for me. It's a forgettable show. Yeah, just this is when we're starting to move into forgettable versus something to remember it by. So yeah.
So good. Do the Brad. Should we start looking at 08 versus any of the ones we had below it?
Well, yeah. Thank you. That is my favorite thing to do is go, oh well, you know, this is how shows climb up into the middle pack here. 08 versus 94, or even 2004. 08 versus 2004. Let me see. I think I'm good with how. I mean, I ranked it. I ranked 08 above it, but it was very close.
Here's what I have. When we're talking about moment wise, I mean, I may have to reevaluate this. I had Edge returning as being a pretty big moment because I remember being pretty surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think he was going to be back so soon. But on the flip side, you lost Jeff Hardy, which was who they promoted for the show.
Right.
I remember the Orton-Batista match being okay, the Team Orton versus Team Batista match being okay. But yeah, I mean, really the only thing this one's hanging its hat on is a shocking Edge return. So dropping it below 04 and 94 would not be the craziest thing to me.
And looking at my notes, actually, I do have 04 above 08, so I would be okay with that also. Justin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I ain't going to get much complaint from me. I mean, 04, for some reason, I kind of like. And 94, I'm fine with moving up. 08, again, even being there, not very vivid memories of it. I think it has some cool teams, which I think we should factor in a little bit, even if the matches aren't great. Like that Orton team is pretty cool with Regal in there and Shelton. The face team was pretty good. R-Truth, Punk, Kofi, Matt, and Batista. And the opener has some weird teams too with Sean, Ray, Cully, and Crime Time.
That Sean team may be my favorite collection of oddballs ever. And I also remember the fact that Sean, Ray, and Cully were the survivors, which was just a great visual.
You're right.
The three of them celebrating together.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's some solid stuff in here.
Yeah, but nothing that puts it above 04 or 94, I don't think.
No, I would agree.
I am going to speak for 88 for a sec.
Okay.
Because I don't think it belongs anywhere near where you guys have it.
Okay.
But you guys, well,
no,
I mean, Justin, because Brad didn't
say anything. I haven't spoken to you yet. Yeah, no, I actually have 88. Brad. No, I have 88. I have a couple more to go before we get to 88, but I will.
But it's in the discussion, Brad. I mean, if it's within three for you, that's there.
It is. No, I'm not saying you're wrong. And actually, what I was just going to say is that I will readily say that from a group that I crowdsourced and researched around and watched, was like trying to figure out how to rank those early ones. So I certainly defer to you guys. Mm-hmm. So Ben, if you want to talk about 88 first,
here's what I'm going to say for 88. If you look top to bottom, because that's when it was still a relatively not very many matches show. The big thing I think you have is the Demolition Powers of Pain double turn, which we shouldn't underestimate because that made Demolition a huge legendary team.
That match is awesome too.
Yeah, and it's a great, great match. Secondly, I think, you know, the continuation of Warriors push, that opening match was not bad at all. And then I think the third thing to consider is this is when you're right in the heat of the Mega Powers angle. And this was like a big turning point in that whole angle. So if we're talking about moments, I think 88's got at least two iconic moments with the turn and then when Savage getting eliminated. I think that's fairly iconic. You have the...
Did he get eliminated?
Yeah, Savage gets...
No, they were both survivors, weren't they?
Were they?
He tags, like, Hogan, like, tags himself in.
That's right. All right, yeah. But there was definitely, that was one of the first instances of the tension between them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because so Savage is, like, Hogan celebrating with Liz, and Savage is kind of looking up at him while he's holding his head.
So, I think you got the double turn, you got the first signs of dissension between the Mega Powers, continued push of Warrior, beginning of the Andre-Jake feud. Four matches, there's something memorable out of each one of them, plus you have one really, really great match in that 42-minute long tag match. I don't think 88, but it's not, you know, I don't think it's going to make the top tier, but I don't think it belongs down here quite yet.
All right, well, let's throw out 2006.
Yeah, I was going to say for the more recent ones, and I think that has to be in the discussion here, and I'll still reiterate maybe 91, and then what I wanted to ask you guys, well, let's talk about 2006.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about 2006, because I actually had it. This is another one I had much higher.
I had just around within this group. I like the main event. I mean, the match isn't great, but you know, that kind of builds that whole story from Booker T, and then you know they have the very fun Team DX with CM Punk getting big chance from the Philly crowd.
See, no, but that disappointed me, that match.
But that match, it is disappointing because what Orton walks out.
When you look at the talent, I was expecting, like, oh, this is going to be one of the greatest Survivor Series matches of all time. Right. I remember watching it live being like, all right, it's cool, the champ for Punk, and it was fun with Sean saying, who's that, Mike Knox, but it ended up being kind of a fart bomb, because it's like, all right, it was just a squash, a 10-minute squash, you know?
For sure.
With a lot of great talent, Nitro and Helms and Edge. I mean, that was, like, a big chance for those guys.
Yeah.
And they made them kind of all look like goofs.
Yeah. I think I remember 2006 as being more of a fun show than a good show, because I enjoyed... Even though, again, it's not a great match, the Legends against the Spirit Squad, just seeing Flair and Dusty on the same team, like there's something to that. Decent Benoit Chavo match, nothing to write home about. I really, with the DX match, it's basically a squash, but I just like that team so much. Mm. And the Cena show match is okay. Again, I like that Cena team. I like Cena and RVD and Sabu. It's just what a weird team. Cena, Kane, Lashley, Sabu, and RVD. So I don't know. I think this is almost, I elevate this above some of the other mid tier ones just because of the curiosity factor. Like I remember this show, you know, I couldn't tell you what was on Survivor Series 2009, but I can name pretty much every match on 06 just cause I remember those teams. So it left an impression.
I mean, 09 is an interesting one, but it's one I like. So I think the two triple threat matches are very good.
The two triple threat matches are good.
And the opener is pretty good too.
Yeah,
I think we'll revisit 09 a little bit later, but so back to 88 versus 06 versus, let me throw another one out there.
I'm fine holding off on 88. I mean, I think Ben made a compelling case, so I don't think we need to put it here. Is there any other early ones, Ben, you want to put in? I mean, besides 91,
I was going
to
ask you guys about 1990.
Mm. Oh, 90's way up high for me.
Yeah,
not just for nostalgia. There's a lot of stuff going on that show. I'm not ready to get into that yet.
Yeah,
I will say I had 92 and 93 down in this area. I think 93 is a very weak show.
It is. It's like it's very similar to SummerSlam 93, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We had the same debate and argument there. To me, 93, like I mentioned the 94 birthday, like 93 was the one. God, I was so into it and such a big deal to me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think the nostalgia probably gets it to here.
Yeah,
I think 92 needs to go a little bit higher.
I will agree on 92. It is much higher on my list.
And not even a match. Yeah. There's so many. I think to me, 92 is almost like 90, where it's a lot of important moments, and it's such a changing of the guard for the promotion. Coming off the steroid stuff, you get Brett's ascension. His first main event as world champion. And some important characters debut. They may look goofy at the time. Yokozuna, Mr. Perfect's return to the ring as a face. Doink first shows up. I mean, you know, guys that would become linchpins of the next run of guys. You know, kind of one of Boss Man's final kind of farewell.
I think 92 is a tough show also because it's the first one that breaks away from the format.
Yes, yep.
So I tend to remember it not as fondly, even through nostalgia, just because it was so jarring. I remember thinking, why aren't they having more Survivor Series matches this year? So... that's definitely one that draws re-examination. But let's look at 93 for a sec. Because to me, 93, the big story is you have the start of the Owen Hart heel turn.
Yep.
Which is historically significant. Decent match.
I mean, the opener's the best match.
Opener's the best match. But then goes quickly downhill from there. I think the much like the midget match drags 94 down, the four doinks match drags this one way down for me.
Well, see, I'll defend it a little bit more than the midget match. It's a little bit shorter. You have all real workers. And it's more, it's done in a, the midget match is done like kind of in a mean-spirited way.
Mm-hmm.
This was more of a fun match. You kind of wanted to see Bigelow get squashed with the pie and beaten up because he had been kind of tormenting Doink. You know, I don't know, just... Yeah. It felt more like a holiday themed fun food fight kind of thing, like you'd get like on SmackDown in later years around Thanksgiving. I don't know. It felt more like that to me. Like, oh, here's our happy holiday match where we're gonna stuff turkeys and pies and pile up on the idiot bad guys and make them look dumb, and you know, the head shrinkers are gonna bump around for turkey legs and everything. I don't know. It felt like more of a fun match. I'm not saying it carries the show, but
no.
To me, that's what makes it better than the midget affair.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why we already have 94 on the list. I mean, I'm not arguing that it's worse than 94, but yeah, 93 is not great to me. And the main event, I don't love. And I remember being a little let down by it because I like that babyface team to me. Again, the All-Americans, that should be a great all-time team for me.
Yeah.
Because I really like Luger. I like the Steiners, and Taker being on the team was a cool novelty. But I thought that match just wasn't as good as it could have been.
No,
it
went
long, too.
You have a couple cool moments. You have Savage stepping into the opener, and they bury Perfect on the way out. And then they have Savage cost Crush. Yeah, so that feud has continued here. The Knights Hearts match is 30 minutes of very blah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
It's not a good match.
To me, that could have made or, you know, broken the show, and it kind of broke it. I like the SMW match too. But
yeah, I was going to say, you guys talked about that with Dr. Tom. Mm-hmm. But that's a decent match that the crowd wasn't really going for. But I wanted to jump in on, I'm on board with 93 potentially being next, and we're still talking 91 maybe and 06.
Oh, you're dying to talk 91. So give us your pitch here for 91.
Okay.
Well, you keep saying we're talking about it and we haven't, yeah, so you clearly want to talk about it.
Well, let me finish with 93 real quick, because I do want to say, if you go to Wikipedia, our own Scott Criscolo and Justin Rosero are cited in the Wikipedia entry as reviewing this event for the history of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about this. This is the old Angel Fire website. And both writers gave Survivor Series 1993 a C rating and viewed the Family Feud match as the worst on the card. So you guys are famous, so there you go. Yep. And Matt Petticord also placed to be Nation's reference on here. I thought that was interesting.
What does Justin say on Wikipedia about the Doinks match? I want to try to catch him in a lie here.
Oh, I'll have to go pull his...
never mind. It's not worth it. Let's just keep going.
So let's see if we can... So are we good with 93 being next?
I am, but Justin was the one defending a little bit, so...
Justin, what would you have down here?
I can't make too strong of a case. Maybe 06, but it seems like you guys are really into that one, so I won't push too hard. Ben made the case for 88. I think it is more historically significant. I mean, here, 93 is really just the Savage stuff and the Owen heel turn. So, it hurts, but I'm okay with it.
Okay, so let's do 93, and then... next on top of that, maybe 2006.
Yeah, I think that works. And yeah, I think it's weird because I can't say nostalgia is it. For some reason, I have like almost, because when we're going back over it, you're right. 06 wasn't very good, but I have a weird irrational like of it. So I would almost say with 93 and 06, if 93 is your nostalgia show and 06 is kind of my irrational show, Brad, how would you rank those two? How would you flop 93 and 06? Because I think those are the next two. It's just a question of where they fall.
Boy, I have them close to on my list. I have 06 above 93.
Okay. So, let's throw it down there then.
Heartless.
Because we're obviously both...
For what it's worth, Chad has 93 above 06. So
well, that's right, man.
If anything, that's an indictment on it.
So how about Dan, message us. What do you think? Maybe he'll be the tiebreaker. Should we talk about 05 here at all?
At some point soon, yeah. I think we got to talk about 05. I think we got to talk about possibly 07.
Yeah, 07 is an interesting one.
07 is interesting.
I like 07, though.
I kind of like it.
A bit further.
07's got the cell. Screw you, Dan. 07's got the sell, and I like Michael Zorton. I know you were talking about it today, Brad. You had some thoughts,
yeah,
so we'd get into that.
I still like the show overall. I mean, yeah. I think the Survivor match with that one with Triple H's team versus Umaga's team is
fantastic.
Really
good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take that out of discussion. I don't know
why.
Because
the opener's good, too.
Yeah. With Punk and The Miz and Morrison. Let me see here what else I have.
All right, I'll drop this bomb right away, and I'll say I got 89 creeping up, Justin.
Mm. 89's an interesting one.
Here's my case against 89, because I, from a nostalgia standpoint, love 89. I think it's got some of the best teams of all time.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so insignificant as a show. Work rate, not really there. It's got some great characters, but not really any advancement. So it's when it's stuff like when I'm looking at like 88 and saying, oh, all this important stuff happened in 88. Nothing happened in 89.
No, you're 89
right. 89 was a holdover show for No Holds Barred. And they spent half the time plugging No Holds Barred. So
let me say this about Survivor Series 89, though.
Yeah.
When you think Survivor Series and you think Survivor Series matches and mm-hmm. you think Thanksgiving. And you think of the aura of what that show is, to me, like, this is what I picture. I picture the opening video with all the people eating food and having fun for Thanksgiving. I think of Jesse in the Pilgrim hat and Gorilla. I think of these team names, which we hadn't completely had before, right? So the Dream Team, mm-hmm. the Enforcers, the King's Court, the 4x4. So it's like, and you have every star, and they all fit perfectly on the teams that they're in. For the most part, I mean, there's some that Scott and I have talked about before when we did the review here that they kind of flopped around the Hogan match. Warrior, I think that's not insignificant, Ben, on the show, is Warrior main eventing.
Warrior main eventing? Yeah.
Over Hogan.
That is the one significant moment.
That's a big moment there. I think it's an ascension for Mr. Perfect on the show. His first kind of a highlight, because if you, and Scott and I are reviewing 89 right now for the Vault refreshes, he's doing nothing for most of 89 until here. Like, it seems like he was doing stuff, but he wasn't really. He had the match with Blazer at Mania, the match with Rooster at SummerSlam. He's really just kind of working his way through the mid-card fodder. And then here is where he gets, okay, he's in there with Piper, Rude, like some names, you know, Snuka. And he's a sole survivor with those guys in there. So to me, I think those are the semi-important things here. You get his ascension, debut of the Earthquake, who's a pretty big character going forward. They give him a super strong showing here. So, I mean, I think there are things here. And to me, when you factor in a little bit, to me, this is where you have to consider some nostalgia. And also, to me, this is just like, this sums up Survivor Series, this show.
Right.
I mean, when I think Survivor Series 89 is the first one that pops in my head.
Your impassioned plea has convinced me that we're not at 89 yet.
Okay.
But as I look at the ones remaining, I think it will have to come sooner than later. I don't know how many more I can put below it.
No, I'm with you. And I'm not trying to say it's going to be a top five, but I think that's my case for it being – that's my case for eradicating the whole it's a worthless show kind of thing, like nothing happens on it. I do think there's some stuff there, and I think something needs to be said for it being like the dictionary definition of that pay-per-view title.
I agree. I think it comes up soon, but not yet.
Okay. So we've touched on 88 and 89. Justin, you want to look at 2005, or can we jump to, or would you like to talk about 1990 to follow up off the 89? Okay, well, you guys have 90 a lot higher up, right? Is that clear?
I still want to hold off on 90 if Ben does.
Okay.
Yep, agreed. Okay. I'm not ready.
So we've talked about 88, 89. Is 87 in anybody's discussion here, or we should talk about it for this group?
I don't have it in this tier.
No, me neither. 87 to me is sneaky, like, great.
Yeah. So. It we may be talking about it way, way, way down the line. I'll throw another one in there because I know Justin said he liked it earlier, but I may stump against this, and that's 03.
Mm.
What are the virtues of 03?
I'm going to let Brad take that first.
Go on.
Let me pull it up here.
I can tell you, I mean, I think it arguably has one of, I mean, you could argue that the Bischoff-Austin match is the best Survivor Series match.
It's a great Survivor Series match.
Probably a top three match of all time. It's Orton's ascension. You get the Michaels, the blade job, where he's down two to the 3-on-1, and he starts making his comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say there's a ton else. I mean, Cena.
No, because, yeah, let's look what.
I have a little bit higher where kind of where you guys are talking about those 80s ones that we're not talking about quite yet. Team Angle, Team Lesnar to kick things off.
Well, the big thing there is Cena to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the knocks on this show are that you have the dueling McMahon against Brothers of Destruction matches. That's what drags it down for me.
See, I like Vince Undertaker, though. I don't like Kane Shane, but I think Vince Taker. A little long, especially at the end with that Barry and Taker and all that, but the Vince Blade job and the nastiness of him getting the dirt all over the blood and the cut, and I'm going to be watching this one soon enough, so maybe my mind will change, but I like that match better than, definitely way better than Kane and Shane.
Yeah, I've watched this show quite a few times. I have this one on DVD, and I just remember this was the point. They'd always been done very well with Vince about booking him in matches where I was like, all right, it's believable that he can hang in here for 10 minutes, but him against Undertaker for 12 minutes at this stage, I don't know, for some reason it just didn't work for me. And
yeah, but you know what saved it is that it was buried alive, though. So it's not like he didn't get pinned for 12 minutes, right? So the whole thing was going to drag him over, bury him. So, I mean, he gets the piss beat out of him for the whole match. I don't think he gets much offense in at all, really.
Yeah. Okay, so we take 03 out of the discussion as well? I'm just looking for what's going to be next. See, this is where what we were talking about at the beginning comes into play, because all these Survivor Series are so kind of, there's a lot of parody here.
Right.
Once you get past the really bad ones and before we get to the really good ones, there's pretty much an argument for and against almost all of them. So,
and the main events is kind of heatless at 03 too. Yeah. I mean, if I'm, I can't sit here and say 03 should be below 89. I mean, it's just because no match on 89 comes close to that. I mean, that match is, like I said, arguably a top three Survivor Series match of all time. The Team Orton, Team Bischoff. So can we look at 03 versus 05?
Yeah. So let me run down 05. Booker T and Benoit in their best of seven. Triple H and Ric Flair with a 27-minute last man standing match. And then we had a somewhat raw John Cena defending against Kurt Angle. And then I do not remember the main event.
It was right after Eddie had died. He was supposed to be in this main event. Orton got named last minute. And it was SmackDown versus Raw. I remember more than the event itself, I remember Undertaker coming back afterwards and beating up the whole roster trying to get to Randy Orton.
It wasn't that the one where Hardy screwed up and didn't sell for him and they got punished afterwards?
Yep. That was the one. I think this might be the one, because Flair, Triple H was good. It's half hour long. Angle, Cena was good.
Which Flair, Triple H match is better? Because I always get them kind of conflated
this
in my
head. This one or Steel Cage?
Yeah, the Cage at Taboo Tuesday or Saturday, or whatever it was.
I think the Cage is a little better. I think this was still good.
This is like the really brutal one, right? Where he uses the screwdriver and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the main event had a lot of talent. And it's the first time they really did like the SmackDown versus Raw stuff, too, which was a big deal.
But at the same time, it's kind of like what you said with 06. That match that had so much talent, but it's like this match had so much talent, but none of us remember it.
Correct. Yep.
How good could it have been, you know?
The only thing I really remember besides Taker is Orton's continuing his, like, this is the third straight year where he was the sole survivor. So that, I remember them really hyping that up, where he was, like, the king of the survivor matches, and it kind of was continuing his ascent up the card. Cena Angle, I remember being a pretty wretched feud. I mean, the fall of 05 is a weird time for me, too, because I just kind of moved back to Rhode Island, and I was, you know, they were back on USA, and Cena was becoming the face of Raw, coming off that weird Jericho feud, and they put him with Angle, who seemed to be doing all he could to get himself over and not Cena. Yeah. And they had the weird thing where they put Daivari with Angle to try and... Was this one where Daivari was the ref?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, if I'm ranking these, I'm putting 05 below 03 and 89.
I'm going to say I can't think of anything looking over my list real quick, because after we get past the ones we've been talking about, we're starting to get into the ones that I actually think are really good. So I can't say anything worse than 05.
Okay. All right. So let's pencil in 05 at number 17. Looking at 16, I think we've got it down to Ben. Why don't you talk about 89 versus 03 here?
Yeah, that's where I think we're at, because I'm looking at. Here's the comparison based on what, because Justin made good arguments for both of these shows, but I think one of them is going to be next. And it's a question of, do we go with 89, which is kind of the more well-rounded snapshot of Survivor Series show, or do we go with 03, which I think has a few weak matches, but also has a great match in Bischoff, Austin, and then a pretty good match in Angle Lesnar with the Cena push. So it's one of those two, but I'm not sure which.
I will give my vote. I have 89 above 2003.
Yeah, Justin, I think it comes down to the best match of the two is 03, but to me the more nostalgic, memorable feel is with 89. You know? So I mean, yeah. I think they're very close.
I feel like for the parts you talked about, the Warrior and the main event, you know, versus like what came out of 03 outside of, you know, Sean's great performance in that match. I mean, people.
That was also the Mark Cuban one, wasn't it? Where he takes the RKO.
Is that 03?
Yeah, I think it is because they're in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was Legend. Yeah, it was Legend Killer time. Yeah.
Not that that makes a difference. But, I mean, if I'm picking 89 over 03. I mean, if I have two of them laid in front of me to watch, I'm going 89 every time.
Yeah, I think I'll always go with the more consistent show against the show that has a couple standout moments. So
yeah, I mean, and you go back to the main event. Nobody's jonesing to relive Goldberg versus Triple H one-on-one matches. So
especially that one. That one was very kind of heatless and very just so obvious what it was going to be. 11 minutes of just nothing in Goldberg. It reminds me a lot of 06. The Batista Booker. I know you like that one, Brad, but it reminds me of that where it's just kind of like it should have main event because it's really freaking obvious where they headed with it.
Right, right. All right, so let's put in 03 and then 89 at 15. We're going to do two more before we head to break.
Okay.
And the board is, you know, as we've all talked about as a running theme here, it is hard to differentiate some of these.
Yeah.
So, Justin, what do you have next on yours?
I mean, I would have had 88 in this realm, but, you know, Ben talked about it. I think 90 is starting to creep in a little bit. A couple of shows we haven't talked about, 95, which I like a lot. That's always been one of my favorites. I was actually just rewatching it the other day. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're getting to that tier where now we're these are all the good ones, so it's hard to say. Brad, why don't you make, I mean, I wanted to save for after the break to build some tension, but I guess why don't you make your case for 91 here?
All right, so for, I think that 91 potentially slides in, and really what it is thinking how you guys have 91 that ranks against 88 and 90, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let me just ask you that right away, because otherwise we're, do you have 91 above 88 and 90?
I have 91 and 88 pretty dead even. I have 90 above both of them.
Okay.
By a significant margin. But I have 91 and 88 pretty much neck and neck.
91 is similar to 94 in that it starts good and then the end kind of tails off. Like the main event, once you lost Sid and Jake and they don't put Savage in it, kind of gets blah, the main event there. And even though you get the Rockers headed towards a heel turn, that match is kind of long and plotting.
Sure.
So I think 91 drops off significantly after Taker Hogan, which is not even very good in its own right.
Right, just significant.
Right.
Not good.
Right.
It's certainly significant. I mean,
and the second match isn't very good either. So, I mean, it's...
No.
I know when you say it like that, it seems like 91 should maybe be like a bottom five show, but I'll say this too. The feel of 91 is really cool. Like, it has this dark tone to the whole show. They really played up like the creep factor with Taker being in the main event. I remember all the promos leading up were very kind of dark themed. That's a huge moment too. And Flair, you get Flair's first pay-per-view.
It's not just, I remember, I'll say this too. It's not just Taker winning the title. It's that 91, 4 years into the Survivor Series is the first time they have a non Survivor Series match. And I remember that being a huge deal. Felt like a huge, hugely important match just because it was big enough that they were going to have a title match at Survivor Series. And they promoted that, too, that there was going to be. And just, you know, I remember, the greatest challenge, the fact that it was so creepy.
You know, and I will say that, and I know they certainly mentioned Tuesday in Texas quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
On that show. But I did that. Like that, yes, did the title change, but yes, they worked in like the, is Hulk really hurt? You know, is his neck, even though if you watch the replay, he takes a really soft tombstone. And then they announced later in the show, guess what? You know, they just signed the remake. So, I mean, they booked it well for maybe being a little bit transparent afterwards, or at least in hindsight, it's like, oh, well, this is – so I guess I'm kind of going against myself by saying that – putting myself in the moment when that show happens.
And it was cool seeing it was cool seeing Jack Tunney getting kind of whacked around too. When Flair, like, knocks him out of the chair and then he uses the – like, it was cool seeing Flair get involved in that Hogan title match. That was a big deal at the time, too. Because, oh, my God, are we finally going to get Flair Hogan? It seemed like even though Flair had been around for a couple of months, he hadn't done too much with Hogan. And then all of a sudden, here they are.
I think we could. I think we could put 91 in right now because I'm definitely not going to put it lower than anything we have on so far.
Right.
I'm just going to say that for the next few that we do, we're going to have to do the Brad move and keep coming back to 91 and see if it's really worse than those.
Okay, sure. I'm good with that.
Now let me ask you. I agree. I think that's great. Now let me ask you guys this. We talked a little bit about some later ones, casually mentioned 09 and 07. Mm-hmm. 97 has a monumental ending, but is there...
No,
I think
awful.
We're in the wheelhouse for 97 to being next.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's arguably a top two Survivor Series moment.
Yeah,
I agree. I think what's carried it to this point so far.
Even though it was a lousy card, and even though there were lousy matches... Let's remember that you have, even if it was a lukewarm thing, Austin coming back from his injury. That was a big deal. Him winning over the crowd.
Yep.
You have The Rock starting to become The Rock character-wise. So, I mean, you really have to look at 97 as, yeah, it's not a very good show. There's not very good matches. But you're essentially kicking off the Attitude Era because you're seeing the, whether you realize it or not,
Vince becomes Mr. McMahon really here. I mean, it's not until later, but he's backstage and he kind of says, I don't know what's going to happen. Then he comes out and, I mean, that launches that character. And to me, this was the transition show. This officially kicks off the JR King era as well. This is the first show they do alone. Well, they did a couple alone, but this is really like the first that Vince is gone now.
Montreal crowd too.
Right. Montreal crowd is hot. You get the French announcer. And the cool part of it, that whole year, U.S. versus Canada, and this culmination is in front of like the most Canadian crowds in Montreal with like I said, the French announcer doing it, and it felt very hostile. Mero came back as a heel there. You get Goldust heel turn too, is kind of pushed forward. I like the Nation versus LOD, Ahmed, and Shamrock match. I thought it was fitting that Shamrock and Rock were the last two because that would kick off a huge feud in 98. Like Ben said, Austin's big comeback, and I mean, I don't think we can understate, as much as it's been just beaten to death over and over and over, I don't think we can in any way understate the main event.
Right. Fair enough. I mean, I think you got to look at it this way too. Basically, some of what Justin said, you got a ton of intangibles, and then you have literally the three biggest stars of the Attitude Era, Austin, Rock, and Vince, all basically this is their launching pad to the next level. So now I don't think 97 is in the discussion quite yet.
And JR and King. I feel this is when they become the voices of the Attitude Era. So I think it's their launching point. Because until this point, JR was really just still the nerdy third guy in the booth.
Yep.
And now this is when he becomes the voice of the company. And I think that's a big ascension. I mean, he's the voice that a lot of people associate with the hottest period or second hottest period in company history, however you want to argue it. Becomes a modern day gorilla. So to me, that's... I think that's a big point to talk about too. Like their ascension to that level.
I am going to note that I'm not seeing 91 on the spreadsheet yet.
Dan McGinn, you have one job.
Kane's first match.
Oh yes. Yeah, totally. It's basically this is the show that sets up everything in the Attitude Era. So yeah, I think it's a good breakdown.
I'm curious where it shows up. I'm going to. Let me throw another one out there now. I think we should look at 09 now.
Okay.
For this before we head to the break here, because Justin mentioned the triple threat matches, but I felt these were incredibly telegraphed matches that were going, no titles were changing.
Right.
So you had Undertaker versus the tag champs. and then you had Cena versus DX, and they were, I didn't even think they were that great of matches. I mean, you did have the Batista, I guess Batista had already turned.
Yeah, right? But this is where...
No, this is when he turned.
He had already turned, but this before. Is where he destroys Ray.
Destroys Ray.
I thought you were my friend.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He turns at Bragging Rights. I'm sorry, right. the pay-per-view before. Yeah,
it's
kind
of interesting because a lot of what I like about this show didn't hold up, and that's that it elevated a lot of guys in the Survivor matches, but none of them ended up going
like
anywhere.
Miz and Morrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember they had the Bragging Rights suits. In 2009, they were on different teams. I mean, there was a big deal about that.
Yeah, Kofi, I was going to point to Kofi specifically. Yeah. This was like Kofi's coming out party, but I think it's hurt by the fact that it didn't end up leading to anything.
Right, because he pinned Punk and Orton to end the match. Mm-hmm.
And he broke, he broke Punk's, or not Punk, he broke Orton's Survivor Series streak.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time where Orton doesn't survive a
No,
match.
06 he didn't.
That's right. Why do I think that?
He wore it down. He didn't get pinned, though. But so that's a good point, though. The undercard was certainly substantial, or at least it looked at the time.
You know what? I'm going to say because Kofi didn't end up being a bigger star, but because Drew McIntyre didn't end up being a bigger star, that hurts it for me. Yeah. So I actually, this might be my next one.
This is the pay-per-view of missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity, and I think really bland main events. Really shoehorned in. They had no issue with
Cena. I like the main event.
I liked Cena against DX a lot. I mean, yes, you're right. The result was never in question, but that's actually, I think, a plus to it because they took a match where you knew who was going to win and still made it really, really good and really entertaining.
Okay.
That said, I still put this next. So.
Yeah, I'm with you.
There's an alternate reality where Kofi Kingston and Drew McIntyre are like the Cena and Orton of the WWE, and this is like their 97.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, 2009, this is a weird time because it was like they kind of needed to make new stars and they kept putting it off, and now we're still feeling the ramifications of that where they didn't just bite the bullet and move these guys up the card. And it almost felt like, you know, back in the 02, 03 phase where they waited too long on guys like RVD, Benoit, Guerrero, to where they just became placeholders instead of guys that carry the company. And I feel like that's kind of similar here. But 2009 versus 91.
Ah, man, that's a tough one. I mean, the matches are better in 2009.
Mm.
91
there's
feels
nothing
like
as
a
memorable,
bigger show.
Yeah, there's nothing as memorable on 2009 as there is on 91, I'll say that.
I'll put 91 above 2009.
Me too. How about 89?
No.
You sure?
I was saying it just to be reactionary, so let me actually think about it for a sec.
I'll be your Brad while he's thinking. 89 and 2009?
He's going to try to sway you while I'm thinking, by the way.
Where's Steve Willie?
You know what? I actually have 89 and 09 right next to each other, and I would keep it with 09 one above 89, but it's really close. And
why, though?
Why is 09 above 89? You know, I got to think about it.
And you don't like the main
event. I don't like that main event. I really do like the, you touched upon it, the Survivor Series theme throughout really came in, and I actually just watched that one to get ready for this one again, too. In hindsight, man, I really don't like those 09 triple threats. I don't know. It's kind of the whole, one guy's got to lay outside the ring while, I think they put together maybe like 4 minutes with the three guys together in there. But so yeah, I'd actually put 89 at 14 and 09 at 15. I'd be okay with it.
I can't put into words why I would put 09 above 89. And if I can't, then I think you got to change it. It's my view.
But then again, just
nothing if not fair.
You know, I would put 91 below both of them. So, but
how about 2009 and 2003?
What was 2003 again? 2003 was the
Austin
best
Bischoff
match of all time. Yeah,
I like 2009 above 2003.
Why?
Well, I think 2003 the main event in 2003 very very forgettable, and I do even as much as I don't like that triple threat in 2009. I really don't like 03, so okay. I'm comfortable in with the with 09 above 03.
Okay, I'll leave that one alone there.
And I will say that our 2.5 Star Lord had 2009 in his number 5 show overall.
Of course he did.
So he was very bullish. He's gonna be all over me for.
Let me see which Japanese wrestlers are on Survivor Series 09. Jack Swagger. I guess Evan Bourne. Is Evan Bourne what did it for him?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him a follow-up show. He will debrief and write up with very mean-spirited comments.
For Voices of Wrestling.
All right, so this is where we stand right now, but nothing is.
Hold
in stone,
on, before
folks.
We get out, now Justin has me thinking about 03 again.
All right, let's take a break. Think about it during the break.
I'm going to think about that during the break, and let's come back to it.
Think about during the break. When we come back, we'll run down where we are, and then we'll do the last 12.
Because? Is that what? No.
Yeah, because?
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Okay, we're back on the Brad and Chad Show. We're counting down every Survivor Series show ever. I'm joined by a good buddies, Justin Rosero and Ben Morris, today. So let me just recap where we are. We have 12 left to go so far in descending order. 1999, 2010, 2012, 2013, 2000, 2008, 2004, 94, 93, 06, 05, 03, 09, 89, and 1991. So here we go with number 12 on our list. Justin, I'm going to go to you. Who do you see creeping up here next?
All right, we got 2011. I want to say 07, but I like that. Every time I go to look at the card, I run away from it because I want to
leave. Yeah, me too. I just did the same thing.
I'm like, no, not yet. I
think we got to start talking about 92 here.
Yeah, I'd say 11, 92. Ben, I think this is where I start to look at 88 a little bit.
Agreed. Yeah, 88 starts creeping in here.
Yeah, because to me, the rest of the kind of the cream of the crop.
Yeah, I think those three are our next three.
Yeah.
All right, so we got 88, 07, and 11. Or 92 and 11.
Yeah.
90, okay.
I mean, 07 alone, Brad Woodling.
I know. All right.
At first, gut reaction, my favorite of the three is 92. But we'll talk it out.
I think this may be where. 92 is my least favorite of the three. Sell me on 92, Justin.
I already did.
You already did sell me on 92, and it didn't work. All right, so I'm putting 92 here. Because if it's coming down to 92, I'm going to say 92 against 2011. What do we have in 11 versus 92? We got, for 11, I think all we really have is Rock came back.
Right.
That was big.
Big.
And you had Punk finally winning with Fink as the ring announcer. They're in Madison Square Garden. So that's
right, and that kicks off his epic reign.
Yeah, that's two things for me. I'd say put 11 in there next.
Yeah, I mean, that's really about it. I mean, The Rock, the big thing with Rock is it didn't end up drawing like a huge buy rate.
Right.
Like they did Massive Gate or whatever because of him. So, you know, big financially. It was the Zack Ryder show. It was the one where the fans were calling for him, then he won the next month.
Yeah, that was really cool.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, sure. I mean, I think 92 is more significant. Right. Although, I don't know, it's hard to say, I guess, with Punk's ascension. But, I mean, he was going to win at some point. It's tough to compare significance to me with the old ones versus the new ones because, mm-hmm. I mean, Punk would have won at any point. It's not here. Yeah. But Brett.
It felt big for him to win in MSG.
It did. It felt like a crowning. He's the next guy. Yeah. Okay, I'll take that back a little bit. Yeah. So, to me, it's similar. I mean, I think it's fitting we're looking at these together because... Brett to me was always kind of the, you know, Punk is like the evolutionary Bret Hart in my mind. So right. The fact that Survivor Series 92 was Bret's first big main event and Survivor Series 11 is kind of Punk's ascension as well.
Well, looking at it this way, you've got, you can really break 92 down to, let's say, in 92 and 11, we've got big coming out title matches, Punk against Del Rio versus Bret against Shawn.
But to me, the difference there is Bret and Shawn.
Right.
Right. This is their moment. And 11 is Punk's moment.
And then I think the other thing is you have two big tag matches because you have Perfect and Savage against Flair and Razor versus Rock and Cena against Miz and Truth.
Right.
So I think we can put those direct comparisons. The only other thing you want to argue is if there's big character moments in 92, like, you know, Yokozuna comes in, some other ones come in.
Right, and it's Yokozuna's debut in that he, like, kills, just squashes Virgil, and they issue the warning that Yoko's come in, be careful, Brett. You know, it was, like, great foreshadowing. And to me, it's like, yeah, SummerSlam's like the transition show because Warrior's still there. So now we're into the, here's the new, and I don't want to say new generation because that's such a connotation to it, but here is the next, we're finally done. And even though Hogan would be back, we're finally, it's not really the Hogan Rock and Wrestling show anymore. Now we're finally into this new era, and it feels like a very fresh show when you watch it. They're back in Richfield, kind of where they had started. It almost feels like a reboot in a way. Also, Owen, I don't know, Owen in the opener, but Boss Man's his farewell, one of the major characters of that era as well. I know he sticks around a little bit longer, but this is really the end of his run.
I'm fine with putting 11 at 12, and then I think you got to go 92 for 11. And then I think 88 sitting at 10 feels about right to me, that when you start going into the top 10, 1988's the first one we see.
I'm good with that.
I won't argue too much. I mean, I think you made a good case for 88. I think that's about where I would have it, because I don't think it's better than any of the ones we got left.
No, neither do I.
All right, so that puts 88 at number 10. Mm-hmm. And you never know. It could move up as we look at some of these other ones. So
no.
We've talked about 97 already. We've hinted about 2007, which maybe we should go into now, unless one of you, either of you two gentlemen, would like to talk about 87 or 1990 at this point.
87 is a sneaky great card.
Right.
It's very I can never say it right.
Compartmentalized.
Compartmentalized. You have the IC title match group. You have the women's group. You have the tag group. And you have the main eventers. And all the matches are actually really good. I mean, the opener is very, very good. You have Savage teaming with, like, all the guys that he kind of hated, Jake and Steamboat and, you know, and all that. It's pretty cool.
That's a great team, too.
Oh, really great team. And Honky narrowly escapes again with his title. Even though it's not a title match, he still doesn't get pinned. So you kind of have the ascension of those mid-card guys, Steamboat, Savage, Jake. The women's match, solid. You get the Jumping Bomb Angels for kind of a novelty act, and considering some of the talent that's in that match, it's pretty good. The tag match, very good. Not as good as 88's, but still very, very good. You get the cool moment with the Bees and the Young Stallions winning it. Demolition's first pay-per-view match as well. And then the main event is just great, with Hogan actually getting eliminated, Andre getting his moment in the sun, the really cool moment where he's down there with the three big guys against Bigelow, where it's Andre, Gang, and Bundy, and Bigelow gets mowed through Gang and Bundy, and then falls to Andre. It's a really good main event. The commentary's top notch. It's one that always surprises me when I go back and watch it.
Yeah, I think 87 is a great snapshot of where WWF was at the time, because it covers all the divisions, and I think it's also a great proof of concept show for why we still have Survivor Series around now, because it basically laid the template. So I'm not ready to go there yet. I will potentially go to 07 now.
I think we have to, because I don't know what else I would put.
I think, great main event with the Cell match, solid opener with the triple threat for the ECW match, fun Survivors match, but then Orton Michaels can go either way. There's a great Cully Hornswoggle match on this card. It's a forgettable tag match.
I like Orton Michaels a lot. I know Brad.
I like it too.
Brad, I know you talked about how you didn't like the illegality of the super kick, but it's kind of what I really liked about it. That Michaels had to fight. Right. He had to figure out, because he had become so reliant on it. Now he had to figure out a way around it. And don't forget, Michaels had just had a pretty hot comeback too. He had been off TV for a while, and he had come back like a few weeks before this on Raw and set this match up. So there's a lot of hype behind it.
Yeah. All that said, though, looking at my list, I'm not seeing anything 2007's beaten. So.
No, I agree. I think I'm just trying to justify its spot here.
Sure.
Brad, did you want to talk about that Michaels match at all?
No. Yeah. I didn't have any of the background with, like, I didn't see if they wrestled before or what the deal is with it. I think my commentary to you was like, I thought it made Orton look a little bit weak because, you know, Michaels was stunted in what he could do, and that cost him the match. So,
but I think that's okay, because Orton was the heel. It's okay for him to look a little weak.
Yeah. And it, was there a stipulation in that match around, like, if Orton got DQ'd, that he lost the title to? They love to do that with their heels. And that happens in other Survivor Series matches, too. When Booker T, actually in 06, he has that stip attached to him as well. Which makes sense if you got a guy that keeps trying to, you know, get out of matches like King Booker was. So I'm good with 07 being here. And we are now
to is that match, too? Is that when Orton just punches him in the balls when he goes for the super kick? Because that's one of my favorite spots of all time. Is that that match?
I think no, that was the month before, because that's why they set up both those stips.
All right, okay. Yeah, I love that. That is like the best. He goes to the fucking super kick, punches him in the nuts.
Orton had more like DQs in a main events of pay-per-views during that run than anyone, but they were all tremendous, because they were just like, yeah, well, of course that's what you would do.
I feel like we need an Orton podcast, because it's like, he's such a divisive figure.
Yeah,
he really is. Well, I was, especially because, you know, our friends on the PTB and PWO, you know, they're doing the greatest wrestler ever, and, you know, guys like Parv, who we talk to all the time, and Stephen Graham, they hate Randy Orton, and I'm the one over there that nominated him for the top 100, and it was like, what? But, you know, so yes, we should do a podcast.
He's really good. Yep.
Sometimes.
So. All right, I'm fine with 07 here. I mean, I think there's some really good, but I don't think there's any shame in it being the the eighth best survivors or ninth best survivors.
Yeah, we're getting to the elite now, so there's no shame in any of these.
So moving to the elite, we have quite a stretch in the mid-90s still out there.
Mm-hmm.
95 through 98, we already touched on how significant 97 is. I like 95 a lot. I'm glad it's made it this far. Our 2.5 Star-Lord does not like that one very much. But, I think it's got a great main event, and I think the Survivor Series matches underneath it are really good.
Yep.
So I like that. But is it time for 95 versus
02?
Yeah, those 02. Are my next two. Those are my next two.
And I was at 02. I love 02. But when you really look at it, it may have survived on year name or whatever, you know, recognition. A great, fun main event. Scott and I just talked this on our show. Kind of a disappointing tag match. Good, not great. Yeah. Billy Kim and Noble's good. You get the shock of Brock, and then you get the Steiner moment, which is just fantastic. So I think it's fitting here. I mean, I think you could argue maybe it's a skosh high.
Yeah.
When you compare to like the quality of other shows. But you get the moment of the debut of the Chamber, Shawn Michaels' return winning the title, Steiner debut, Brock losing with Heyman turning on him. Like, those moments, plus a red-hot MSG crowd. So, like, those five things kind of carry it.
Yeah, looking at the ones just below it, I'm not going to drop it below 07, not going to drop it below 88. So I would say it's safely here. But, yeah, I think the next two are 02 and 95. I think 02 at 8, 95 at 7, personally. That's what I would have.
And 95 is big because it starts the turnaround of the company, because they really bottom out at In Your House 4, even though SummerSlam was solid. Survivor Series to me is what ends that just nadir of a year. From Survivor Series 94 to 95 was like their low point. Right. And starting with Survivor Series 95, things start to turn around quality-wise.
Yeah.
And like Brad said, a great undercard.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really great main event. I like that wild card match a lot. And I like the women's match a lot. The other ones I think are good, but
the opener was pretty good. I mean, that's a lot of workhorses. They have silly gimmicks and stupid names, but when you look at it, like Candido, Tom Pritchard, Luis Piccoli, the Kid, Jannetty. I mean, those are really good. I mean, when Bob Holly's arguably the worst guy, like, that's a pretty solid grouping right there. I mean, and Horowitz is, you know, jobber by name, but very talented guy. So and they give 19 minutes.
Yeah, all I'm looking at what I have remaining, and I have, like, something big for each of the ones remaining, and 95, I think, just edges out here. And again, like you said, I don't think there's any shame in it scooting in at number 7.
No, I think it's a good showing. So let me finally turn, and we'll talk about this one.
And you can argue that's Kevin Nash's best match ever, too.
Yeah.
I think you can make that.
It's either that or him and Michaels at Good Friends, Better Enemies.
Yeah,
I would have less to play with here. Yeah.
So let me ask you guys, I want to talk about 1990 now.
Mm. I guess it's time.
Yeah.
It is time. Our 2.5 Star-Lord, my co-partner, has this as the 20th ranked one, 1990.
Really?
So way, don't forget,
he has no heart.
Yeah, that's true. No heart. You got to remember that.
it's just a
he's an accountant who looks completely at numbers. That's it.
All right, so here's what 1990 has going for it. I'll step in on this one because I think Justin covered 89. 1990 was the first wrestling pay-per-view I ever watched, so I definitely have heavy nostalgia on this one. But I think it is significant. Number one, for it was the first time they tweaked around the format. They had the Ultimate Survivors match.
Mm-hmm.
I think the roster was at a huge peak here in terms of everyone was over and everyone was strong. The Warriors is probably my favorite Survivor Series team of all time. It was just the most badass team ever when you had Warrior, just this dominant champion. LOD was clearly the strongest tag team. I love Texas Tornado. I think you just had a lot of really fun teams here. And of course,
it's like the official end of Demolition too.
It's the official end of Demolition. It's also, we can't understate this, it's debut of The Undertaker.
Yep.
So that's huge.
In a big way.
Yeah. That was just out the gate. Just if this show had nothing else, debut of Undertaker would put it in the top 10. The fact that it also has the Ultimate Survival match, the fact that it also has that badass Warriors team.
And the first ever team to soul survive.
Yep.
The Visionaries.
So I think it just has a lot going for it. So personally, that's why I have it so high, is it gets into the top 10 on Undertaker. And then I put it above stuff like 95 and 2002. Just because if you look at, say, 95 and 2002, like Justin was talking about, those were like, they're just, 2002's, they're just on the verge of maybe rebuilding the roster, even though they don't quite get there. 95, they are about to rebuild the roster, but 1990 is the roster at like the height of its power. So that's,
and you got Nikolai Volkov captaining a team.
It's tremendous. And Tito Santana making it to the main event alongside Warrior and Hogan.
So let me ask you guys this then. Are we looking at 1990 at number 6, or do we revisit 1997?
Nope. 90 is below 97.
Yeah. I'm trying to look what else
is. Montreal's is bigger than Taker. I mean, the only one I'd argue maybe here is 87 below 90, but I think 87 and 90 are very similar.
Yeah,
I think they bunch together here for me. Very similar format. They kind of have the different carpentalized matches.
Sure.
They each have something unique. 87 is the debut of the concept. 90 is kind of the evolution of the concept after the first 3 years are all kind of the same. I mean, it's funny when you think of that, where they are, like Hartford and Richfield, but yeah, that's where they were. I mean, the only thing that makes you think maybe 90 over 87 is Taker. Like, 87 doesn't have anything that big.
Again, I'm going to go back to the well-roundedness of 87 puts it over the big moment of Taker in 90 for me. So I think 87 still scoots up there. Yeah. I'm not ready to start talking about 97. I may be ready to start talking about the years around it, though.
All right, so let's go 87 at 5 then.
87 at number 5.
I don't see 87 being above the other four.
No. So then we have, let's talk a little bit about 2001.
This I wish we could just tie these four for number one.
Yeah.
This is really hard.
It's kind of like each candidate has their own pitch for why they should be number one, which is like we talked about at the onset, it's a little bit different from SummerSlam and WrestleMania, this many ones that could really make a claim for it. So 01, obviously, the end of the invasion angle, huge main event, very good main event.
Yeah, because remember before I said 03 is like arguably the best. I think this is what it's fighting with.
Yeah,
yes, best. I would agree.
Survivor match
of all time. I think I like 01 above the 03 match.
Yeah, me too. So yeah, this one goes 45 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. And it's good. I honestly think they booked it out really well for having to go that long.
Especially if you strip out the, at the time, how it kind of made the alliance look stupid that, Austin is the last man standing for WCW and ECW in this match, Rock versus Austin again. If you watch it now where you don't have those emotions tied into the invasion anymore, and you can just kind of take it for the match that it is, having those two be the last two is much cooler now.
You know what I will knock the main event for, just to play devil's advocate, because I think someone has to, is the thing that always bugged me about this main event was I didn't like the angle booking. And when I say angle, I mean Kurt Angle, not the angle itself. Because I think you've talked about some past shows, Justin. I'm not a big fan of the guy who tricks you into thinking you're on his side by actually being on your side and fighting guys for the entire match.
Yeah, that's always annoyed me. Yep.
Yeah, and that bugs me about this match, and I think actually bugs me a lot about this match. Just because
the only reason I'll say it with Angle is that none of them knew, and he was just doing it like for Vince, and it turned out the next night that it was like all self-serving. Remember, no one thanked him for it and everything like that, because they're all pissed off that he did it.
That was a good follow-up, yeah.
So it's not like, it's different than like Ric Flair and the Horsemen where they fight the match, but they were all in on it. You know, like this one, no one knew Angle was in on it. So he's kind of being a dick. He's beating them all up, and then he turns to get the glory. So I thought they actually explained their way out of this one.
They explained their way out of it nicely, but I just remember in the moment, putting in a bubble, because we're talking about Survivor Series, and like if we're not counting the Raw afterwards, I remember just being confused as hell watching it.
Yep.
And I'm just like, what just happened? Because he was, you know, he was beating these guys up the whole match. So that hurts it for me, especially because it's so crucial to the end of the match that, you know, you need, like, the Angle turn needs to get in there. And then looking over the rest of the card, there's a lot of matches I like. Yeah, I actually really like the Hardys-Dudleys match.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these are hurt to me just by how burnt out I was on the Invasion at this point. I think you're right, Justin, going back and watching them now, it's different because you don't have to be as kind of exhausted as we were at that point. But I'll be honest, guys, I'm stacking 01 up against 87. Because to me, 01 is that one great match, but with a huge flaw in it for me. And then the rest of the card, okay matches, but problematic. The overall strength of 87, I think I like more than the really, really good main event of 01.
Yeah, I think they're similar. They both have, you know, really good commentary.
Yeah.
I feel like 01 had more stakes, even though they weren't stakes.
That's true.
Like, you know, you had the whole Invasion thing coming to a head, and that was a big deal.
It was, but again, like we were talking about before, we were saying, like, you know, foregone conclusions, like, did we not, I feel like at this point, and I'm trying to put myself back in the moment of 2001.
Of course, it was obvious.
Like, yeah, we knew that WWF was going to win. Does that detract from it?
No, because it was a chance that they didn't, you know? Like, I don't think it was like 80%, but I don't think it was like 100% sealed. You also in 01 had my all-time favorite, Billy Gunn. Do the famous thing and the crowd going nuts.
That's great. All right, I'm going to say 01 does not make the top three. For me, it doesn't make the top four. So personally, I'm going to say 01 goes at 5 and 87 goes at 4. But if you guys go 2-1, I'm putting 01 here, then I'm fine with that.
I'm going to go with 01 over 87, as is our 2.5 star lord. Justin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I go with 01 over 87. Yep. I really like 87, but I still feel there's like I let you have it over the other one there, Ben, because of the historical thing over Taker. I think 01 just has more going for it in the kind of the intangible stuff. 87 is the fact that 87 is where it is with nothing really going for it outside of just the names and the matches is impressive to me. I think 01 just has a little bit more going for it.
All right, I'm fine with that. I think it's good.
All right,
I think we have the right top three. So
yeah, this is an interesting top three. You know, we've certainly zoned in on, you know, angles and significance, and then we're coming up on a show that has a great match and angles and significance, and I think that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So our last three shows we have are 97, 98, and 1996. We've all held off on talking about 1996. We've talked about 97 already. 98, obviously a very famous show, incredibly well booked, super significant from the main event, and just the you know, there isn't a great match on the show, but the entire show, just how it weaves in and out and tells a 3-hour story is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's up here in the top three. So I would say to you guys, 98 versus 97. Let me start there first and see if we can come to a consensus.
98, but I mean, spoiler, I guess, but 98 was my number one heading in here. And 97 tops out to me at 3 because of everything we talked about before. Even though Montreal's what carried it to 3 out of 27 shows. So, I know we talk about Austin and Rock and all that stuff and Vince, but I just think 96 is carried by a 5-star match and like a 4-star match and a red hot crowd. And really the kicking, the official kickoff of the Attitude Era to me, sorry, here's 96. And 98 to me is one of the most perfectly booked shows in WWF history in any manner. It's brilliant. I rewatched it again recently. And every time I watch it, I'm caught up in awe of all the little things that they nailed throughout that show with all the boss man tricks. Making you think, you know, he's fucking up the whole time when in reality he's doing everything absolutely 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of backstage clips of Vince and the Stooges like freaking out. The Shane having him be the ref in a couple matches and then he turns. And then the finale, obviously, the final match. So, and even the Sable jacket match is like a big moment for Sable. So I don't know. I think 98's one. You could argue with me for 96, but I can't put 97 above either of those.
I agree with 97 being 3. Ben, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I have these three pretty much. I mean, because to me, these are three very different shows. To me, the best wrestling show is obviously 96. Austin Hart may be the best match in Survivor Series history if we're just going matches, period. But there's a lot surrounding it that's not as great. 97... I think is the most historically significant show for the reasons we covered. Even though 98 is also historically significant, I think 97 is more historically significant. And 98, in terms of storytelling, it's the best storytelling show. Yeah. So really, we have three that could all get a case for number one for completely different reasons.
Right.
Because the things that others are strong in, the others are weak in, because 98 has no work rate on it.
Oh,
90,
yeah.
Or does it?
No, it doesn't. So let's go with rewatchability, yeah. Right? So to me, that knocks 97 out because, yes, historically significant, great moment. If you have these three tapes lined up, three DVDs lined up, are you watching again to see the Montreal Screwjob? You know what I mean? Like that's
or even
you're not.
Still, are you really watching the undercard of 97?
No, I'm putting that on if I'm going to bed. You know, like I'm just throwing on something to put on and I'm falling asleep to it.
Let's look at it from this perspective too, though. If you are showing this to a first-time fan and you're trying to, like, you know, show them the most important stuff and the things that are going to get the biggest reaction,
98.
What are you showing them? Are you going to show them 98 just because it's so well booked? Because I think I was initially one of my knocks against 98 was rewatchability, because I remember when I tried to go back and rewatch it, already knowing how it was going to end hurt it a lot for me.
See, I just watched it again and I feel
I know,
the
you
opposite.
Just, well, yeah, when you said that changed a little bit for me, but... I don't know. I don't know if I put 97 below 96. I want to have that discussion.
Okay, let's do that. Sure.
Because the thing about 96 is it's got that great Hart Austin match. It's got a pretty good Shawn Sid match. But then what else does it have?
Well, Undertaker Mankind.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah,
Undertaker
that's
Mankind's
the end
okay,
of their
but
feud.
it's not putting it over anything.
The opener is very good, Furnace and LaFon.
That's true. It's good. But again, to me, that's another ultimately like forgotten match because Furnace and LaFon didn't end up going anywhere.
All right. Where do we factor in Rock's debut?
Taker's
debut carried.
I knew there was a reason I had it this far up and I was trying to remember what the fuck.
So you get Rock's debut, Taker Mankind, which is kind of the feud of 96. So that you get that in there. A solid work rate opener, an all time classic in Bret and Austin. You know, you get Snuka, which is a big letdown. But
MSG crowd.
Red hot MSG crowd. You get snarky Jim Ross on commentary, which is always fun. And then the main event, which is just like, I mean, is it an awesome match? No, but just everything around it. Shawn is getting booed out of the building. The pops for Sid. The camera finish with Jose Lothario. It is a great, arguably probably one of the best, or at least top handful of Survivor Series main events of all time. Right, it's up there probably 95 and
sure.
I think when you put that all together, personally, 96 is my number one, and I had that penciled in before the show.
I'm gonna tell you, Brad. I actually had it as my number one as well. 96, I had it number one just because, for me, it was weird to put 98 at number one because to me it was such a concept show, and I think this is kind of the thing that's bugging me too is that
That concept was so awesome, though.
It was a great concept. I'm not disagreeing with you. I point to 98 as just being one of the – that if you want to show the most perfectly booked wrestling angle of all time, you go to Survivor Series 1998. There's no better example of telling an amazing story in 3 hours.
And arguably made actually the best tournament in wrestling history.
Yeah.
Like, just booking-wise. I mean, you've had, you know, tournaments, WCW, tons of tournaments with great matches. But, I mean, has there ever been a one-night tournament show like that? I mean, look at WrestleMania 4, which is maybe the closest in comparison to it. And just 88, I mean, 98 is laps it.
I'm still at the – first of all, I think we can put 97 solidly at number three. That's fine.
I'm good there.
I am just – I think both of these shows are number one in their own way. But to me, if I'm rewatching a show, I kind of like having that mix of five-star match and a very memorable debut with Rock, a great crowd, some Survivor Series matches, which we haven't really talked about that, but I don't know. Strangely, I don't feel comfortable putting a card that doesn't have any Survivor Series matches as the best Survivor Series. It may seem like silly, but to me it's significant that 98 is just all singles matches.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're wrong in any of your arguments, Ben. I mean, 96 is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Right.
98, I've grown from more of an affinity of. Actually, I'm laughing that you said it, you felt like it hurt your rewatchability, because it's one that I've liked more and more each time I watch it.
Yeah.
It has risen up my ranks with each time I watched it. What does Chad have, Brad?
Well, and let me just say my quick thoughts on 98. I've rewatched it recently also. And I think that we were so used nowadays to Vince, but there really is something refreshing about 1998 Vince.
Yes.
You know,
in the wheelchair.
In the wheelchair. Like, he's just – his acting is so good. Mm-hmm. Like, in all those little things. I mean, it's even all watching a lot of 98. So I wanted to throw that in there. Chad's number one is 1996. Mm-hmm. And
it's hard for me. It's hard for me to argue against 98 because I love 1998 as a show. It's like these are really.
Yeah.
If ever there was a case where it's 1A and then even kind of 1B with 97, just because of how significant it is, like this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to chop down 98. I'm just looking for the little minutia, and for me, it's little things like Survivor Series matches or
big debuts.
Like. That may be
yeah. I mean, those are the hallmarks of Survivor Series, right? The big debuts, and the Survivor matches, and you also get good singles. I'm fine with 96-1. I mean, I was trying to make the case for 98. I think it's close, like you said, Ben.
Yeah, it's a coin flip.
Yeah, and 98, I think Brad probably made the best sell for it. Besides it just being a great story, is Vince when you watch that show, he's all over it, but it's not in any way annoying because he's so good.
The other argument for 98 is it's all if 97 is where all the Attitude Era characters debut, 98 is where they're all at their best.
Right.
From Austin to Rock to Mankind
to the freaking Big Boss Man.
Yeah,
right? Ken Shamrock is great at that show.
Yeah,
kind of being the dumb robotic heel that doesn't realize he's being hoodwinked into being screwed over. You know, Vince and Patterson and Briscoe are great. They keep cutting to them and so angry about everything. And even the Shane touch, I mean, the Shane reveal was unbelievable the first time when they're like, what?
I mean, that's an iconic Attitude Era moment overall.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Shane with the double bird.
Yeah, the double bird. Very good.
All right, guys. Yeah, I think it's a coin flip. But you actually put it best, JR, when you said the hallmarks of Survivor Series are Survivor Series matches and big debuts. And I think 96 has both of them and a five-star match.
Best match of any Survivor Series, in my opinion, also, and that kind of helps carry it. So, I mean, heck of a battle at the time. We kind of advertised that. We foreshadowed going in that it was going to be tough, and it certainly was the hardest discussion we had on finding three pretty good cases for number one. So I'm going to run down our final list here. Before I do that, anybody have any closing thoughts on anything in the top five?
No, I think we covered it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty. I could wake up tomorrow and completely redo our top 10, probably.
Yeah,
just because I think there's so much parity at the top.
I think that's like that for everyone we do. We say that as we're wrapping up that we do this again tomorrow and it's going to be completely different.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Starting at number 27, 99, 2010, 12, 13, 2000, 08, 04, 1994, 93, 06, 05, 03, 09, 89, 91, 11, 92, hitting number 10, going into our top 10 is 88, 07, 02, 95, 90. Our number 5 is 1987, number 4 being 2001, number 3, Montreal gets us all the way to number 3 with 1997, number 2, 1998, and our number 1 Survivor Series show ever, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank both you guys for the talk tonight and the research and the great discussion. And we will see if 2014, where 2014 slides in down the road. But you know, maybe you'll hear from Brad and Chet a little bit sooner next time. Otherwise, you can maybe pencil us in for a Royal Rumble show. That should be pretty interesting.
What about Armageddon?
The best TLC matches. You will
December to December?
Yes.
Yeah. So, hey, for Ben, Justin, and Chad, who was here in spirit and had 96 number one, you know, have a great night.
And
thanks.
Dan. Hi, thanks, Dan.
And Dan. Thank you, Dan.
I'll say I'm very, very confident that 1999 is the worst one.
Could be the best one.
I feel good about that.
Maybe it's the best one.
Interesting, despite all the discussion, that three of the four of us had 96 number one, and Justin, you had it with number two.
I had like 1A. 1B, I mean,
so,
whatever.
So despite all the going back, we kind of, and that's why I don't think anybody, because I was waiting, I'm like, there's no way this is coming up until we get really close.